With me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be in the book of 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, if you have not heard, tomorrow is the great eclipse. I think Louisville is supposed to be highlight around 2:30. And we're going to be in 2 Peter anyway this morning and thought I would just go ahead and share this verse with you. There's been some questioning discussion I've heard about whether or not this is the beginning of the end times. And while we're in 2 Peter, I just couldn't help but take the opportunity to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So is the Lord coming back tomorrow? Possibly. Is He coming back tomorrow because of the eclipse? Probably not. The Lord will come back like a thief in the night, and we have no idea when that is. And although you'll find all types of speculations, we have no idea. If you want a very entertaining activity, go to the Wikipedia page that has the list of failed prophecies of the end of the world. There are hundreds of failed prophecies of the end of the world. And it just shows, of course, that man in his pomp is with great understanding, yet we know so very little. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to be in the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to follow a lesson that we began last week. Now, back in the month of March, Brother Dan Lankford, who's an evangelist in another congregation in the area, was with us. And Dan focused his entire week on spiritual growth. And he had various concepts and various lessons that admonished us and encouraged us to grow in Christ, and looked at that growth individually, collectively, spiritually, in various manners. And I really have been very hesitant to touch on some of those themes because Dan did such a good job with it. But given 5-6 months have passed since then, I think it's perhaps now a way of reminder. What I would like to do last week into this week is look at individual growth. Next week, we're going to focus our attention on collective growth. But last week, what we examined was individual growth. And we went to the book of Proverbs. So this morning, what I want to do is look at a phrase found in 2 Peter chapter 1 called supplementing your faith. And as a way of reminder, what we did last week was we looked at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. And the verse there says, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." The idea that we developed from this verse is that there is a difference in attitude toward learning and instruction. The scoffer is the arrogant individual who's a know-it-all. He thinks he knows everything, thinks that he has it all figured out, so he's a scoffer. He doesn't have any desire for learning, instruction, growth. The wise man, on the other hand, knows his limitations, knows his weaknesses, and knows that he does not know everything, but knows that he has a lot to learn. And because of that, he longs for instruction and longs for learning. Last week in the PM, what we looked at was the idea of introspectiveness. That is the idea of looking inward, seeing our own flaws, seeing our own failures, and recognizing our need for the Word of God to sanctify us and make us holier and better in the sight of God. So with those concepts in mind, I did just a 30-second summary of last week. The question I want to pose this week is, what are the behaviors of the scoffer versus the wise man? Last week we looked at attitudes. In the book of Proverbs, we recognize there is a difference in attitude between the wise man, whose attitude is one that longs for instruction, and the scoffer, whose attitude toward learning is, "I already know it all." But there's a lot more than just attitude. There's a lot more than just our orientation toward learning. We now want to focus on our actual lived behaviors. To do this, we're going to go to the book of 2 Peter. And I think as we go through 2 Peter, you're going to find lots of similarities to some verses we looked at last week. So before we look at the actual scoffer versus the wise man in 2 Peter, we'll find some of those phrases. I want us to just talk about knowledge. You know, when it comes to instruction, when it comes to learning, what we impart and what we deal with is not material, but it's knowledge. Well, what is the nature of the knowledge of Christ? What are the outcomes of this knowledge? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. What is the outcomes of knowledge? What is the power of knowledge? What does knowledge do? When it comes to true biblical knowledge, it is not just about getting the facts and the dates and the history. There is a whole lot more that is involved in the knowledge of Christ. In this verse, what are the outcomes of knowledge? What are we dealing with? Two I would recommend. Number one is we can overcome sin. You'll notice with me verse 3. He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Down to verse 4. By which He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. What does knowledge do? Knowledge allows us to overcome sin, to overcome sinful desire, to overcome sinful behavior, and to be pure, to be holy. Look at verse 4 again. Because of these things, we can escape the aspects of corruption and become partakers of the divine knowledge. Over to chapter 2, verse 20, note with me. Chapter 2, verse 20. For if having escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse than them for the first. What Peter's talking about in this verse is those who've overcome the world but are now giving back to the world. But notice with me, how in the first place did they overcome? They escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, here's the idea. Remember, before Christ, we're entangled in sin. We're lost in sin. The passions of sin, the desires of sin, they overtake us. And because of our lost state and because of the sinful desires of the heart, God then needs to save us. He has to save us through these things. What's the way out? What is the way out of the lost state of sin? What is the way out of the lost state of wickedness? What is the way out of the corruption of the flesh and the defilements of the world? It is through knowledge. Through knowledge we overcome. But likewise, I would recommend, not only does knowledge allow us to overcome, we'll talk about how in a second, but it also grants to us all things. Back to 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's just take this verse in for a second. God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Before we go on, let's take that idea. What has God's divine power done in the past? God's divine power created the universe. God's divine power created everything that is and everything that ever will be. That is His divine power. God's divine power developed a plan that took mankind out of sin. God's divine power can defeat the evil one and can overcome. That is the divine power. And that divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we get them? Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Not only does His knowledge allow us to overcome the world, but once we've overcome the world, it then allows us to live in all ways godly that are relevant to life and godliness. So let's just think through this for a second. Again, the scoffer hates instruction. The wise man knows he needs instruction. What does Peter tell us is the power of knowledge? You remember the children's song, "Knowledge is Power, I Know What I Know"? Truly, there is divine power in the knowledge of Christ. What is the divine power of the knowledge of Christ? It allows us to overcome the world, and it allows us to live godly in all ways that are relevant to life and godliness. That's the power of knowledge. And ultimately, what both of these do is in verse 4, it allows us to become partakers of the divine nature. Ultimately, The knowledge of Christ allows us to become partakers of the divine nature. An idea that should just awe us. That God gives a part of His divine nature. It's not the idea that we become gods, but that God's holiness and His glory and His excellence, He will allow us to partake in. So, when we deal with knowledge, what then is its power? What's its outcome? It's not just getting the basic facts. It's ultimately about living to overcome, overcoming the ways of sin, living a life that is godly, and then ultimately becoming partakers of the divine knowledge. That's what the knowledge of Christ has done. The knowledge of Christ that He's given to us through this Word is it allows us to overcome. It tells us the way out. And then once we get out of sin, it tells us how to live so that then we can become partakers of the divine nature. That's the power of knowledge. Well, if that's the power of knowledge, then how do scoffers relate to this knowledge? Well, you can probably go ahead and predict what Peter's going to say about this. Scoffers hate instruction. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring you up by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through the apostles. Notice verse 3. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Now, we already know what the attitude of the scoffer is. The scoffer despises knowledge. He's a know-it-all. He thinks he knows it all. He doesn't need to learn. He doesn't need instruction. He doesn't need to grow. He's great as he is. And because of this, he despises instruction. Notice with me 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many of them will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. What do they long for? They do not long for true knowledge. They want, verse 2, false knowledge. They want, assume that was verse 3, they do not want the way of truth. Rather, they despise the way of truth. They blaspheme the way of truth. They have no desire for knowledge because they think they already know it all. That's a scoffer. Now, brethren, here is the question that we must introspectively, using a word from last week, we must introspectively ask ourselves, do we have the attitude of the scoffer? Remember from Proverbs? The scoffer thinks he knows it all. He thinks he doesn't need to learn. And so because of this, he's going to do what he thinks is right. He's going to follow what he thinks is the best way. And he's just going to do whatever he thinks is fine and dandy because he already knows it all. Brethren, that know-it-all attitude is the antithesis of the attitude of a Christian. Because scoffers think they are wise in their own eyes. Scoffers think they know it all. And because of that, they despise instruction. They despise knowledge. They despise the very knowledge that has the power to overcome sin, to deliver us to the hand of God, and to give us a life that is pure and godly and righteous in His eyes. In every way of life and godliness, they despise it. That's the scoffer. But notice with me, that's their attitude. But what's their behavior? Because of their scoffing, because of their attitude, because they despise instruction and learning, they follow their sinful desires. A bit later in chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to start in the second part of this verse with the full sentence. That's a horrible verse division. Bold and willful, They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters about which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Suffering wrong is in the wages of wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Down to verse 18. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, having escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first. Don't these sound like the type of people you want to invite to a party? Why do they live such wicked lives? By the way, 2 Peter chapter 2 is about as strong of language against false teachers as you find anywhere in the Bible. Why is there such descriptive warning language? Because scoffers despise knowledge, and because of that, all they follow is their own sinful desires. Whatever is right to them, that is what they do. Because if they know it all, they're just going to follow what's right in their own eyes. Whatever their heart longs for, they're going to follow because it must be right to them. Whatever their flesh longs for, they're going to follow because that's what's right to them. If we think we know it all, we're going to do what our own passions and our lust and our desires tell us to do. That's the problem of scoffers. You remember last week I used an illustration of two students that I'd had. And I think I made up names. One was Josh and one was Sarah. Josh came into class on the first day. I'll give a brief summary of what had happened. Josh came into class the first day. It was an honors class, an honors public speaking class. And he got up in front of the class and gave what he thought was the best speech that had ever been given. And he was patting himself on the back, and he got back to his seat and wanted his friends to pat him on the back because he thought he knew it all. It was the worst speech I've ever listened to in my entire life. It was horrible. And throughout the entire class, he would not learn. He would not learn. It was so frustrating. When I tried to teach him eye contact, he did the exact opposite of what I taught him. Whenever I tried to teach him a thesis statement, he tried to tell me a speech didn't need a thesis statement. Whenever I tried to teach him proper attention getters, he did the exact opposite. Whenever I told him how to organize a speech, he told me that Steve Jobs doesn't organize his speeches, so he doesn't need to either. Boy, you're no Steve Jobs. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And I was so frustrated. Why? I had very few students like this. Everything I taught him, he refused to do. And as a speaker, he grew none in that class. By the day the class was over, he did not grow one little iota from the first day. May have gotten worse. Why? Because he thought he knew it all. And whatever type speech he wanted to give, oh, that's what he was going to give. Because if it was right in his own eyes, he knew it all. If it felt right to him, he had good instincts. Whatever he thought was right in his eyes, that is what he would do. Brethren, are we know-it-alls? We must ask ourselves introspectively, do we really think we know it all? If so, I am a scoffer. If I think I know it all, and I think I don't need further instruction, I don't need further learning, I don't need further growth, I have the attitude of scoffer. And what then does the scoffer do? Verse 14. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in great greed, accursed children. Why do they follow such longings of the flesh? Because, brethren, they think they know it all. I would encourage you, if you've not done so already, to read the bulletin article I wrote for this week. I never, as a rule, play the role of social commentator. But I heard something in the news this last week that I just thought I needed to not give a social comment on, I needed to give a spiritual comment on. And if you've watched the news at all this week, you've heard about Charlottesville. and you've heard about being guilt on both sides. I'll very briefly tell you the thesis of the article. Politically, there may be guilt on both sides, but spiritually, there is guilt on one side. Brethren, how many of us give in to anger at this world? We give in to the lust of this world. We give in to the hatred that we've seen. We give in to the anger that we see, and we allow our own passions, we allow our emotions, we allow our desires, we allow our words to be overcome by anger and hatefulness. I did during the election, and I'm guilty of that. I allowed this last election to get to me way too much. I am not going to make the same mistake again. We need to be on the side of God. We need our passions, our emotions, our longings. We need our hearts aligned with the way of God. Scoffers think they know it all, and they're going to follow whatever way is right in their own eyes. We must not be like the scoffer. What then does the wise man do? If the life of the scoffer is one that follows passions of the flesh and follows the desires of this life, what then does the wise do? The wise, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, is one who lives according to life and godliness. And ultimately this, they learn the knowledge of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 16. In verse 16 through 21, I'm going to summarize this section. Peter gives a beautiful declaration of inspiration of the Old Testament prophets. He finishes in verse 21 by saying, "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried by the Holy Spirit." His point is this: the ancient scriptures, are we going to follow their way? Because they have been inspired by the Spirit. They have been God-breathed by His way. Are we going to follow the teachings of Scripture? The wise man knows that the Bible has all things that pertain to life and godliness. Chapter 1, verse 3. All things. I, as a wise man, I pray, know my limitations. I know my weaknesses. I know my failings. I know my flaws. And I need the light of God to guide me in the way of righteousness. I need the way of His Word to guide me in the way of truth. I need the aspects of my life that are not in accord with God's will to be made in accord with His perfect will. Because all the answers are there. All the teaching is there. All the wisdom is there. And because of this, what does the wise man do? He follows the virtues of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 5. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from former sins." What does the wise man do? He puts on, let's notice these qualities: faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Eight qualities there. Those eight qualities, what do we need to do? Verse 8, "If these qualities are yours and are increasing," if I can use a word that Dan used, "if they are growing." Brethren, we need to grow in these ways. By seeing my limitations and seeing my flaws, I then allow the light of God's Word to shine on my life and show me the ways of my life that need to be in more accordance with His will. I see as an example that self-control is lacking, and I need to put on self-control. I see that brotherly affection is waning, and so I need to get it back on. I see that godliness is lacking, so I put on more godliness. And I see that my love is imperfect, and I seek the perfect love of God. Brethren, that's the life of the wise man. And what must we do? Verse 9 again. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted he is blind. But, verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they are keeping you from being ineffective or unfruitful, notice with me, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same knowledge that frees us from corruption, the same knowledge that teaches us to live godly, is the same knowledge that we will live in if we are increasing in these qualities. Brethren, are we increasing? Are we growing? Are our lives in more accordance with the will of God now than they were a year ago? Have I put on more brotherly affection? Have I put on more love? Have I increased in virtue? Have I increased in knowledge? Has my love for God, my love for His people, my love for His creatures, has my love grown? Has my affection grown? Has my self-control grown? Has my godliness grown? Has my faith increased? That's the life of the wise man. The life of the wise man is not one like this. I'm saved and that's it. That's the life of the scoffer. The scoffer thinks, I know it all and I'm good. I'm good, so I'm going to do whatever my instincts and whatever my life and whatever my mind tells me to do. But the wise man says, I know my limitations and I will increase. I will increase. Using a word we used last Sunday night, I will be sanctified in Jesus Christ. And that sanctifying process will continue. And I will grow in Jesus Christ. So, brethren, let me ask you this. Which typifies your life? Do you think you know it all and you're stagnant and you're following whatever your life tells you to do? Or are you the wise man who is growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Here's, I think, the conclusion. While scoffers despise knowledge, and because of that they follow their sinful desires, the wise man learns and then follows the virtues of Jesus Christ. Am I a wise man or am I a scoffer? Am I growing or am I stagnant? Am I increasing or am I following my instincts? Let us be the wise man. Peter finishes his book in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your stability. Does that sound like a scoffer? But 18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Brethren, let us grow. Get out your songbooks, please. Over the last 2 weeks, I've encouraged us and admonished us and instructed us, including myself, to not be the scoffer who thinks he knows it all, but to be the wise man who longs for instruction, who longs for learning, who longs to increase and to grow. You know, the paradox is, the scoffer thinks he knows it all, but in all actuality, he knows very little. The wise man in his humility knows how much he doesn't know, and because of that, seeks to know more. Only the one who humbles himself will be exalted, and the one who exalts himself will be humbled. Am I the scoffer, or am I the wise man? Next week, I want to look at these ideas collectively. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look at how collectively we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But brethren, let's remember, His knowledge can teach us all things that lead to life and godliness. All things. in our lives every day need to be more in accordance with His will, more in accordance with His holiness, more in accordance with His way, as daily we grow and we increase in the knowledge and the virtues and the love of Jesus Christ. That is the life of a wise man. I didn't tell you about my other student, Sarah. Sarah came into class the very first day of class, and she was so nervous to give her first speech. But she got up there and she rocked it. It was probably the best student speech the first day of class I'd ever heard. I talked to her after class and was like, did you have any training before this? Because it was just textbook what a speech should be. She's like, yeah, I did competitive speech in high school. It was very evident. Every day of class, she took copious notes. Every time I gave her an instruction, she followed it so clearly. Once, for example, she needed to slow down, like me at times. She just went so fast that she just needed to slow down a little bit. There was another time, there was an organizational pattern she needed to use. I told her about an organizational pattern she could use. She used it. There was another time that her delivery with her eye contact was a little bit weird. I told her about it. She stopped it. There was another time that her feet were doing a weird, like, bouncing movement. I told her about it. The next time, her feet were perfectly planted. Every instruction I gave her, every bit of teaching I gave her, she soaked it up. She grew and she increased. And the last day of class, she was probably the best speaker I've ever had the privilege of teaching. Brethren, when we get before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are we going to be like my student Josh, who in his pomp he thought he knew it all? And ultimately, I had to give him a really bad grade because he didn't know that much. Or are we going to be like Sarah, who in her humility sought to know more, and in her wisdom she sought to increase? And I said, well done, my good student. Brethren, I pray on the day of judgment, my God looks at me and says, Ryan, you grew. When you were baptized at 17, there was so much you had to learn. There were so many ways you needed to grow. There were so many qualities that you needed to increase in. There was so much wisdom you needed to put on. And you listened, and you grew, and you increased. And because of that, well done, my good and faithful servant. What will God say to us on the day of judgment? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, make that first step in relationship with Him in the waters of baptism. Put faith in Him. Come forward while we stand and sing.